My first guest in this edition is Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss, a first-term Republican from the Peach State who came out on top in his bid for re-election on Tuesday. But because of Georgia law, his failure to get to 50% plus one of the vote means he needs to beat Democrat Jim Martin again in a December 2nd runoff. He joins me now to explain the focus of his campaign over the next couple of weeks, as well as what he sees as the change on the national political landscape. And, Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Greg. Good to be with you again.
This was razor close for you. You almost got what you needed on election night. Just how close were you?
Well, we did, Greg. We were within 8,500 votes of securing the 50% plus one out of 4 million votes that were cast here in Georgia. So we came close, but gosh, we had so much fun in the general election, we decided 4 more weeks would be fun.
There you go. And of course, now it will just be you and your Democratic opponent. There was a Libertarian in the race who many believe siphoned off about 4% of the vote from you. Do you believe that those folks will come back to you and that you're likely to be in good shape come December 2nd?
Well, I think they will come back. The key, Greg, is going to be turnout. Historically, in runoff elections, the turnout is there's a sharp drop-off in the folks who come back to the polls. And our challenge is to make sure that not only those folks that voted for the Libertarian, because certainly they have nothing in common with a guy that's as liberal as my Democratic opponent, hope that they come out, but also if we get our folks to come back that voted for us on November the 4th, then we're going to be fine because we did beat Jim Martin by about 110,000 votes.
We're talking with Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss. And, Senator, throughout this campaign up to Election Day last week, but now moving forward to December 2nd, what is your case to the voters of Georgia to send you back for 6 more years?
Well, a couple of different things. Number one, Georgia's a very conservative state. We've been trending towards being a red state, but we're basically conservative. And I historically am ranked in the top 10 of the most conservative members of the United States Senate. My voting record reflects that. My opponent was the most liberal member of the Georgia House during his 18 years of service there. And we have a number of differences, whether socialist issues or fiscal issues. But I think what this primarily is going to boil down to is pocketbook issues. That's what people are concerned about now. And my opponent has a history of raising taxes. He voted for the largest tax increase in Georgia history. He voted to raise his own expense account by 27% at about that same time. And my record is one of obviously being in support of not just the 2001 tax package, but trying to make that package permanent. When it comes to the economics of the pocketbook, then folks have every reason in the world to support me. The other aspect of this is leadership. In Georgia, the number one industry is agriculture. I'm the ranking Republican on agriculture, past chairman of the Ag Committee in the Senate. Our second major industry is defense. We have 13 military installations and a number of defense contractors in our state that create just thousands and thousands of jobs here. And I'm, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, have obviously been in very strong support of our military as well as our bases here. So those are some of the pocketbook issues that we're going to be talking about. Obviously, this economic crisis that we're in presents some real challenges. My opponent was very much opposed to the rescue package and would have basically stuck his head in the sand and taken a chance on people's retirement accounts and their 401ks. I simply wasn't willing to do that. I supported the package after insisting that a certain number of measures be included in the package, like more oversight, no golden parachutes, prosecuting folks who benefited from this and committed criminal activity, those types of things. And have said all along that we're going to work our way out of this, but we've got to have the right kind of leadership to do it. And putting your head in the sand is not the kind of leadership that Georgians have grown to demand and expect.
Senator Chambliss, as you mentioned, pocketbook issues are number one for voters in your state, as they were overwhelmingly across the country. What did your constituents have to say about the way the government's handled the financial crisis so far, and what, if anything, specifically did they encourage you to do if you're sent back to Washington to do to handle this?
Well, needless to say, people were not excited about the fact that we got into this mess. I was not excited about it. I'm just as angry about it still as my constituents are. It's unbelievable to me that we could have this sort of, envelop us all of a sudden with the crisis situations, beginning with Bear Stearns, with Lehman, AIG. All of these have been of very much concern and consternation to my constituents. For the most part, people recognize that something needed to be done. Even those who disagreed with me with my vote, actually, as I went around the state, we did a 12-day, 80-stop bus tour the last 2 weeks of the campaign. People would come up and say, look, I was not happy with the way you voted, but I now understand that something had to be done, and I'm very appreciative of you standing on principle. So I think most people now realize that this is not a Wall Street issue. It's not even a Main Street issue. It's a global issue.
Senator, in terms of the new winds in Washington, obviously there will be a Democratic president come January. The Democrats will have larger majorities in the House and Senate, regardless of how some of these outstanding races play out. Many folks may not be totally familiar with cloture and filibuster and that sort of thing, but basically the Republicans need 41 votes potentially to stop what you would consider very damaging legislation moving down the pike from a Democratic majority. Explain to our listeners the importance of having enough votes to do that.
Well, the Senate operates on an entirely different set of rules from any other Democratic body. The House of Representatives, for example, operates on a pure majority. It takes 218 votes if everybody votes to get anything done. In the Senate, a majority does not rule. Under our filibuster rules, in order to cut off debate and bring a measure up for a final vote, you have to have 60 votes to stop the filibuster. That's why making sure that Republicans have 41 votes on any major issue that the Democrats want to bring up is so critically important. If it's bad legislation, we want to either stop it or be able to shape it into something that might be good legislation. And if they have 60 votes, then it's Katie bar the door. I don't care whether it's raising taxes, appointing liberal judges, or spending your money in whatever way they decide they want to spend it. Unless we have 41 votes that we can count on, then we're not going to be able to stop that kind of legislation. Right now, they have 57. There are three seats that are up in the winds. We really need to win all three of these, but mine is the only one where there's an election still to take place. And that's why it's so critically important that we prevail on December 2nd.
How do you expect the dynamics of your race to change, Senator, given the fact, as you just mentioned, it is the only election still to play out for a congressional seat? You know there's going to be national money pouring in on both sides, and of course there's going to be a lot more attention nationally on the race. How do you expect that to change it, if at all?
It will change it some. Certainly the Obama ground campaign has already moved in here. The Obama money is flowing in here. I'm sure, will be here two or three times. Senator McCain is coming in for me this week. We're looking forward to having him in. And we hope that we'll have some other national party leaders in. Governor Huckabee is coming in on Sunday, and there will be others like that. But at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to turnout. We've got to make sure that we focus on getting our people back to the polls, and we know that's what they're going to do. And they did a good job, the Obama machine, frankly, did a very good job of turning out folks on general election day, and we've got to make sure that we do just as good or better job as what we did on election day.
Senator, obviously a new president coming in early next year. Do you see any critical issues where you and President-elect Obama have common ground?
Certainly on the war on terrorism, I would hope we have an awful lot of common ground. We both want to win, and we need to do it in the right way. With respect to the financial crisis, he voted the same way I did, so I'm assuming that we have some common ground there that we can look forward to working on. We've got a lot of things that we disagree on, like raising taxes on everybody, irrespective of what he campaigned on. On energy, I am a big believer in drilling offshore, drilling onshore, everywhere we can, and also providing more electricity from nuclear, making sure that we move to alternative fuels as part of the equation. In other words, all of the above. He and I have some significant differences there, but I'm sure there will be a lot of common ground. There always is, irrespective of who's in the White House and who controls Congress.
Just about 60 seconds left in our conversation here, Senator. Real quickly, do you believe that in the end, turnout will be the major focus of both campaigns, or will it most likely boil down to whether voters believe you or Mr. Martin have the better ideas when it comes to the economy?
I think the main focus probably on both sides is get out the vote, but what gets your base fired up are the hot-button issues. So certainly we'll be talking about the economy. We'll be talking about energy. We'll be talking about the war on terrorism, obviously, also. But there are a number of other issues that get our base excited. My voters are extremely interested in the ability of making sure that we get the right kind of judges appointed, that we make sure that from a tax standpoint that we're not going to be left in a position of the Democrats dictating how much money we spend, number one, and then how we pay for it, which will require raising taxes significantly. So there will be issues, but at the end of the day, it's going to be who gets the turnout.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Always great to talk to you, sir. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Greg. Good to be with you, as always.
Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss, this is Dateline Washington.